Today we're going to talk about winning court processes. If you've got someone coming after you, an agency, a lawsuit, that sort of thing, really an undamaged party, a non-victim party type of situation happening. So I hope that in this short video I can get you a really good concept of what seems to be working, how it's based in equity, which is what we really want. We're just trying to stick with what works and what's actually going on in the court. Your standing certainly has to be proved. You have to be a party of an interest in what's going on. But you don't have to prove your status. You already have it. You're one of the people. And if these people are committing some sort of theft or fraud against you, you need to be the one to bring that up. And that's a winning strategy. So we're going to talk about requiring the right of subrogation and not consenting. So what is this legal remedy? Well, first of all, subject matter jurisdiction is absolutely the one thing I think everybody should be on, not so much I'm not the name and I'm not crushing the bar and I'm not doing all these things. Yes, we've discussed those things and they might be factors, but they're not going to be what wins your case. So we want to focus on something that will win most types of cases: child support, lawsuits, credit cards, mortgages, tax issues, criminal matters where there's not a true victim or somebody you've been harmed financially or physically, and or traffic matters. And so we want to go in there and find out what's really going on. So subrogation is a very important concept to understand, as all court cases are actually commercial transactions, even if it's criminal. And they make a claim to your securities to settle the charges or the claims. And they do so because you failed to do so. So this is the art. When the prosecutor comes in, he's bringing in a bond. Now that bond is created in your name, but you fail to make a claim to it. And that bond could be used to set off and settle the claims or the charges or the bill. I think it might even work in a bankruptcy court. I don't know. We'll have to see if some members try it. But imagine being able to set off and settle every case peacefully and get them to do it for you without having to play any special games, be an expert in trusts or equity, spend years studying it. Just one simple concept. So let's talk about the definition of subrogation. And we have the lawdictionary.org/subrogation as one definition up here. The second one I like better, but this one will get you started. The substitution of one thing for another, or of one person into the place of another with respect to rights, claims, and securities. When the prosecutor comes in, he comes in with a bond. You fail to substitute your place in as the beneficiary and creator of that security and use it to set off and settle the case. That's basically what we do by an error when we go in there and enter a plea or just take a lawyer and don't open our mouth. We don't want to do that. So subrogation denotes the putting a third person who has paid a debt in the place of the creditor to whom he has paid it, so as he may exercise against the debtor all subrogation and substantial rights, which the creditor, if unpaid, might have done. So in other words, you're brought in, this is where the all caps name might come in, but that's a debtor, and you, are the man, are the surety for it. You need to come in and say, wait a minute, no, I'm the creator of this, I have the equity here. And so the equity by which a person who is secondarily liable for the debt and has paid it is put in the place of the creditor. Now, people run around out here saying, I'm the creditor, and all I'm saying is with this one move, you put yourself in that position. So this entitles you to make use of all the securities and remedies possessed by the creditor. The creditor comes in, first of all, it's the prosecutor or the plaintiff at the moment, but once you make your claim, because they created it because of your existence, you're now the creditor. And that's all you need to be a creditor. You don't have to go run around with a bunch of papers and proving anything. So in order to force the right of exoneration against the principal debtor or contribution against others who are liable in the same rank as himself. Let's look at the second definition. I think this clears it up quite a bit. Remembering, they're bringing a bond in, they wrote it on your name, you're the creditor, your existence gave the credit existence. Okay? Just like when you sign an insurance policy, you create a credit instrument. Or a mortgage, you created a credit instrument. All right? The court is the place where all this happens. And you need the court to exercise it and take care of it for you. So let's look at this other definition of subrogation from legal-dictionary.thefreedictionary.com. I like this definition because it really does actually spell it right out for you. Remembering, if you've studied equity, which is a very advanced thing that a lot of people study out there, but in reality, it's just done with one simple thing. There's a bond there. We want to make our claim to it. And if we don't make the claim, then we're in dishonor. And they literally steal the bond and go make money with it. Don't do that. At least that's the theory of how this works behind the scenes. And we've seen plenty of evidence of it, which is why they seem to respond. So, the subrogation of one person in the place of another with reference to a lawful claim, demand, or right, so that he or she who is substituted succeeds to the rights of the other in relation to the debt or claim, which is the charge or the bill of the whatever the case is, and even if it's criminal, and its rights, remedies, and securities. So, let's say that again. He or she who is substituted succeeds to the rights of the other in relation to the debt or claim and his rights, remedies, or securities. So you're substituting yourself and you're telling them, I am the claimant here. I want you to substitute me in as the right to the securities to exercise them. And then that sets off the charges. There are two types of subrogation, legal and conventional. Legal subrogation arises by operation of law, whereas conventional subrogation is a result of a contract. So what you're doing is, you go in these courts and they want to get you into a contract. They want you to waive and give up and volunteer into their system and walk away from your securities. That's what they want you to do. You have a right to come in here and make this claim. The purpose of subrogation is to compel the ultimate payment of a debt by the party who, in equity and good conscience, should pay it. The subrogation is an equitable device used to avoid injustice. Now, this is where we talk about equity. People have taught about equity. I'm going to give you the simplest way to ever look at it. You want equity, right? If you brought something of value in, or they created something of value in your name, the equitable thing to do would be to allow you to say, hey, that's mine. Use it to pay the bill. That's equitable, right? So that's what equity is. So you're saying, I want you to exercise my right of subrogation and use your instruments to settle the debt. And for someone to come, by the way, when you come to court and you want to sue someone, sometimes the judge will ask you for a bond. Why? Because you have to bring equity in case you do damage to them. Well, prosecutors and plaintiffs typically need to bring a bond as well. Now, they may or may not do it, but that's what they're supposed to do because they may damage you. Well, now you're saying, hey, I want to use that bond to set off the debt because you created it in my name. So, legal subrogation takes place as a matter of equity, with or without an agreement. So, in other words, you just walk in there, you say, I want my equity. The right of legal subrogation can be either modified or extinguished through a contractual agreement. It cannot be used to displace a contract agreed upon by the parties. Conventional subrogation arises when one individual satisfies the debt of another as a result of contractual agreement that provides that any claims or liens that exist as security for the debt, that's the charge, the bill, whatever the claim is in the court, to be kept alive for the benefit of the party who pays the debt. So, you're saying, take the security that you brought into this bond, pay the debt with that. That settles the charges. It is necessary that the agreement be supported by consideration. However, it does not have to be in writing and can be either expressed or implied. The consideration is the bond that was brought in your name. You're just utilizing it instead of walking away from it and letting them profit from it while you go to jail for not doing what you should have honorably done, which is issue the credit. Well, that's what you're doing. You're issuing the credit. It was issued before you got there. You just need to tell them how to exercise it. The facts of each case determine the issue of whether or not subrogation is applicable. In general, the remedy is broad enough to include every instance in which one party, who is not a mere volunteer, pays a debt for which a second party is primarily liable and which in equity and good conscience should have been discharged by the second party. So in other words, the prosecutor brought this charge in. It probably has no standing in law, so you should have him discharge it. But you don't direct him to do it. This is the way we're not trained to do it. They tell you to just get a lawyer and shut up. No, you should walk in there and make this happen. So subrogation is a highly favored remedy that the courts are inclined to extend and apply liberally. Well, actually, they have to, as far as what we've been able to find. They really have to. The ordinary equity maxims are applicable to subrogation, which is not permitted when there is an adequate legal remedy. The ordinary equity maxims are applicable to subrogation, which is not permitted when there is an adequate legal remedy. Okay? The plaintiff must come into the court with clean hands, and the person who seeks equity must do equity. So I seek equity, so I must implement equity. That's what it's saying. So if you don't do it, you're in dishonor, and you go to jail, or you lose. The remedy is not available when there are equal or superior equities in other individuals who are in opposition to the party seeking a subrogation. Trust me, nobody has a higher claim to your equity than you, because you created it. The remedy is denied when the person seeking subrogation has interfered with the rights of others, committed fraud, or has been negligent. This is where it's very important. This will probably not work if you've defrauded somebody, you've harmed them, you've stolen from them, you've killed them, you've raped them, you've robbed from them. In other words, you've done a harm. You've been negligent. This is when equity gets thrown out the window. This is why people say you have to have a damaged party for the court to go forward. Well, that's technically true, but they do it anyway, don't they? Because you don't come in and actually turn the court into the proper transaction, which is this, subrogation. The right to subrogation accrues upon payment of debt. The subrogee is generally entitled to all creditors' rights, privileges, priorities, remedies, and judgments. By the way, you're the subrogee when you ask. If you don't ask, you're not. So again, the subrogee is generally entitled to all the creditors' rights, privileges, priorities, remedies, and judgments, and is subject only to whatever limitations or conditions were binding on the creditor. He does not, however, have any more extensive rights than the creditor. So, you can't go do harm and hurt the other guy, but he brought this thing in, the prosecutor, the plaintiff. You need to take it, make your claim to it. You become the creditor. This flips the case around. It kind of makes you the plaintiff. And now you have the creditor's rights, privileges, priorities, and remedies, and judgments. They're going to try to dissuade, talk about everything but this. And they will try to avoid this issue. This is at least what we've seen so far, and it makes sense that they would. Because this is their money machine. And we're not trying to take anything from them. We're just trying to take what's ours and put it to our use. That's all this is. This applies directly to any court charge, highest equitable claim to matters involving your name, estate, which the court has made, involving your name, which is an estate, which the court has made an account of, or of securities, a security out of. Therefore, requiring the plaintiff or prosecutor to certify your right to subrogation when you ask for it. This turns the tables and makes you the plaintiff and orders them to settle the accounts. This has been tested with live in-court situations and is quite effectively asked this one question. I demand my right to subrogation, and we're not moving on until we get that resolved. State on that, they try to get him off subject, but he simply says, well, but before we can proceed, I need the prosecutor to certify my right to subrogation. Just you make them acknowledge it. You know you have a right to it. And once they say, it's yours, equity is done. And then you say, now I'd like you to sell off and settle the account. And that's probably the judge's job as trustee there to sit there and handle the accounting for the case. Whatever it is, unless there's a harmed party, this is all that's going on. So you could even write a letter. I don't know if this would work, but somebody, you could try it. Will the plaintiff or prosecutor certify my right of subrogation? And send a copy, of course, to the prosecutor or plaintiff, and a copy to the court. Always copy all parties if you're not sure. That's the rule of thumb. I don't know, but I just assume you should notify people. If you already have an attorney, maybe show him what you plan to send to the judge. He probably will try to tell you you're crazy not to do it. He'll probably run away from or discourage you, because it kind of exposes the game that's keeping the whole system running on full profit for them. The legal industry is a machine. It's an industry. But you want to letter privately to the judge in chambers, and again, a copy to your attorney or to the prosecutor and plaintiff. Give everybody a notice, but to sign it as living soul and ask the question, I want somebody to certify my right to this. And if they try to deny it, well, then they're really in dishonor. They're really, there's a serious claim you could make at that point. But just get to that point, see how it goes. Don't let them stop you from exercising your right of subrogation. But you must demand it to get it. If you get off on talking about anything else, traffic, this, that, statute, let's just do the first things first. Let's get into the court the right way. Go in there, give them your name, and ask the question. They won't hit you for not appearance if you give your name, right? But just simply stick to the subject, what you're there to do. Tell them, I'm only here to take care of this. That's it. All right?